Like, oh my god, that was insane. I fucking hate the new Skype. That was ridiculous. This seriously used to take 5 minutes. Like, all right, what's your name? Boom. All right, there it is. Boom. There you are. Here we go. We'll start the call, and now we're initiated. We're connected. This was like there were a million Gina Davises, and I'm like, I don't even know how to figure out which one of these is her. Then finally, one showed up with the same picture that you have as your Facebook profile picture, and I'm like, okay, that's got to be it. So. Yeah. It's weird. It's like the new Skype doesn't let you send connection requests. It's just once you've chatted once, now you're just in each other's contacts list. Yeah, at least that's how it seems for me. I don't know if that's reading it wrong, but that seems the way it's functioning now. And that's annoying because I used to be able to set up a connection like a week in advance. And then we just get on the line when we're ready to do the call. But anyway, so that was a very long-winded way of saying hi.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's also an off-the-wall way to introduce you to Stalker Hacker, who I speak of frequently in Cyber Days. And he has continued to cyber stalk me even up until now. And just yesterday, I was in one of my Twitter accounts doing some housekeeping, unfollowing people that non-followers mm-hmm. and non-followbacks, and came across Cyber Days Gina 1. I use Cyber Days as Cyber Days Gina. Mm-hmm. And I click on it, and there's no face, no nothing. There's no tweets. And I know, I absolutely positively know it's him because about 8 months ago, I came across Cyber Days Fake.
And they're not even trying. They're just like, yeah, this is me, by the way. This is
and
me.
So I, for the life of me, I can't figure out what he is trying to succeed in doing in Twitter. But at any rate, he has posted god-awful things on my Facebook pages, on my blog sites. Even on my YouTube video trailer, I didn't know that he had found my trailer. And an author friend of mine, I asked if he could post my video trailer, my YouTube trailer on his Facebook author page. Mm-hmm. And he said, yes, he's already done an author interview, a great one of me a while back. And so I gave him the link, and he messaged me back. He said, I might suggest that you remove the comment, and he took a screenshot of it, and I got it in a push notification. No, all I got was, sounds like a douchebag, and I got a push notification, so I didn't see the screenshot, mm-hmm. and I said, what, the YouTube trailer? I thought he was talking about the
right.
man that was, and so, of course, I went straight on to Messenger, and I saw, he said, I suggest that you have that statement removed. It might, detour sales, and
yeah.
I said, oh, that's Stalker Hacker. I did not know that he had found that and posted that there.
So
anyway,
is he a competitive author, or is this Stalker Hacker, more in the traditional sense of a stalker, like he's like obsessed with you, kind of trying to, just insert himself into situations in your life? Are you sure it's a he? There's a lot of interesting ground to cover with this whole situation, if that's something you're cool to talk about. I mean, obviously.
Oh, well, yeah. I just don't know. I'm not an author by any stretch of the imagination, to tell you truthfully. I had something happen to me that I felt needed to be shared, and I wrote a book about it. And so the first and only author interview I had with Angel Medina was, of course, written question and answer format. Mm-hmm. And he asked nothing about Cyber Days or what it was about. It was just about what made me want to be an author and, what are my, this and that and the other, nothing about the book. So it dawned on me, if you were going to ask me about what is the book about and would I be taking the mystery out of it for somebody that, may read it down the road? So I don't know where we should go with that. But I'm willing to talk about Stalker Hacker. Actually, stalker hacker is my ex-husband.
Oh,
and
okay.
During the time that I was doing what I was doing that caused me to write Cyber Days, he was constantly, you know, in everything, my phone just constantly. And so when I wrote Cyber Days, I called him Stalker Hacker. And basically what he has posted now in my Facebook pages and blogs and all over the place, Twitter, actually validates everything that I said about him in Cyber Days, and he's just too damn dumb to not to see it. It's just ironic.
Well,
so I don't delete, you know, the comments. I've left them there.
Well, that's part of what's kind of, you know, at least interesting to me, what you know, and it's been a long time. I hate for this to almost sound stalkerish, but it's like I feel like I noticed you and sent you a friend request a long time ago, before I even really understood what Cyber Days was, that it was actually a book. And it to me, a lot of what's going on in this, you know, atmosphere around you is sort of like the definition of meta. It's almost like, you know, part of real life influenced you to write a book, which I love the way, because I did read that PDF you sent me of the Angel Medina interview, and you talk about how it was more of like the words were appearing to you kind of thing. You're like a vehicle for these words that every once in a while take over, which I definitely want to delve into, because this is a theme I've been coming across a lot lately with artists in all walks of creativity. And then once that happened, now you have these elements of your life that are starting to almost mirror or mimic things that were happening in the book. And then I've seen several statements in, you know, even the one you just made, where you're like, well, I'm not really an author. And I was like, oh, wow. So you wrote a book, but you're not an author. And all the things that are happening in the book are influenced by real life. And then real life is being influenced by the book. So maybe you are like a Neo in the Matrix kind of situation going on, you know? And so
what could be,
to me, that's what immediately kind of started to catch my attention. And then I think we finally actually chatted for the first time when I was on a red-eye flight back east from San Francisco, and I hadn't slept, I think, in 27 or 28 hours at that point. And I think, you know, I feel like I had messaged you a couple times over the last year or two just to be like, hey, I'd love to like figure out what this whole Cyber Days thing is. And for some reason on this particular day, we actually were talking, like, you know, you responded, and it's like, I just discovered how to get on the Wi-Fi on the plane. So I'm like, oh, cool. I can actually talk to people during this 6-hour flight where I should be sleeping.
Yeah.
And it became this very long kind of, it almost felt like we were kind of both delving into the worlds that we write about and also kind of giving it validation in real life. So it was an interesting conversation. It was really, you know, stimulating, and definitely made me want to learn more about all this, and probably led to us talking on the podcast right now. So I don't know, maybe we're already in the interview, and we'll just jump in and I'll say, hi everybody, welcome to Holonine Spotlight. I'm your host, as always, Dave the Clone, and joining me today is author who claims not to be an author, Gina Davis, and we're talking about Cyber Days, this sort of this world that she's brought to us that is a little bit of a part of a reflection of our world, really. So I'm sure we'll talk about all different aspects of that, but, welcome and thank you for being on.
And thanks so much for inviting me. I really do appreciate it.
No problem. I tend to get a little rambly and verbose. So if I start so if I start to go a little too far off the rails or something, just like, you know, throw up the white flag, be like, dude, enough. But yeah, I love this whole sort of phenomenon. Is the way I've been describing it of what Cyber
Well,
Days actually is.
I have posted that. I don't know if you've read it more than several times, that Cyber Days is more than just a book. It's a phenomenon. And in fact, I just started a Facebook group, and it has no purpose right now other than for me to spam myself to. I think I have a fan club. I really do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I said in the pinned tweet that I would, as soon as I found that blog, you know, I would copy and paste it and put it into the group pinned post. So that's funny that you said that, because it really is a phenomenon. Ever since the name Cyber Days came to my mind, I had this feeling, and it has not waned at all, not once. And everything that has happened to me along this journey, I started promoting Cyber Days almost 8 months or 9 months before it was even published yet. Mm. And it's not just been luck, sheer luck or anything. It's been fate, right on down the road. And it's just amazing. And it started when the name Cyber Days came to my head. So, I've kind of lost track of where I was going with that.
No, I think that sounded just right. You know, it's sort of, you know, we sometimes some of these things that we all wind up pulled into, and I don't even want to say pulled into, meaning that we didn't necessarily intend for them. You know, I mean, I just started podcasting one day 12 years ago just to see what it was like, because a friend of mine was doing it. And you never know where you're going to wind up and the things that it's going to lead to and the people you're going to meet. And, you know, it's the way you said it. It's like, you know, fate seems to be this real, almost a tangible thing, you know, when you're in this world of, you know, having, because I often describe, we're working on an audio drama right now with the Hollow Nine Network. And the way some of the story has been developing, I'm writing it, but I'm writing it with some partners. And the stuff that I'm working on, I've often described as, I feel like it's almost revealing itself to me more than I'm creating or crafting it, you know? And I know that maybe to folks out there who might not be authors or writers or dramatics or production people, that could start to sound like this, like, pseudo arrogant kind of feigning, you know, a beholdenness to fate and whatnot. But there is a part of this phenomenon that's the only way you can describe it. And, you know, so for folks out there who don't understand it, I would encourage you to just try, you know, writing a poem sometime or doing something where you're just tapping into something you might not necessarily always use. And you see that there's kind of like, man, this is going to sound so pseudo spiritualistic and whatnot, but there is like a force out there. And I think sometimes some of us get a little bit of that driving us and pushing us. Is that sort of, because I've seen you describe it as the words taking over.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about what that phenomenon is like for you, and then how that happens with
Cyber Days. Well, I've called them the words all my life. They've been with me. And they take over me at times. Damn those pesky words. I've written that so many times. You know, I sleep thinking about, sometime at night, the words won't let me sleep. I just have to get up and reduce it to writing. There's no fighting it, you know. Sometimes they're around for days. Usually a stretch will be 36 hours straight with no eating, drinking, hardly even a potty break. I'll just write, and then they're gone. And so they just come and go. So I learned long ago that I'm merely the messenger. They have a message that wants to be heard in Cyber Days. I am merely the messenger. And so you must have been reading some old blogs of mine, because I don't think I've talked about that in ages. I know I haven't.
Yeah, I think once we started chatting, you know, I did a little bit of research and I wanted to send you some links and invite you to some groups that I'm a part of as well. Just because I kind of got this feeling like, you know what, I think, you know, sometimes you catch a beacon from another zone that it's like, hey, we kind of have a little bit of a similar page thing going on here. I feel like it's important for people like us to connect and sort of understand what we're doing and see how we can all complement each other. I feel like there's a lot to be said for things like the zeitgeist and also just the fact that when you're trying to spread the word and just like let people know about what's going on, it's easier to do that when you have friends to relay it. So, definitely kind of got that feeling of like, we are some forces that should join here, I think.
I agree 100%.
And also, I just love, like, still not knowing what Cyber Days is. And I feel like I get the feeling you have to be very sort of cagey about how much of it you can tell us about and how much of it you want to leave for folks to experience in reading it. But I get the feeling that there's a little bit of a kind of like Neo in the Matrix, you know, like when Morpheus is first explained to him, like, you've always known there's something a little bit different going on than what everybody else is tuned into, you know, that there's something about this that's just off a little bit, and you could tell there's something else going on behind it. And that's the feeling I get when I see your posts and the memes and the photos, and especially anyone who posts as much Nine Inch Nails as you do. I'm like, there's definitely something to this world that almost makes me feel a little familiar to some of the worlds that I'm playing in with the stories I'm writing for Tangent City for our audio drama. So when you think about what Cyber Days covers, even though it was influenced by an event in your life, how would you describe seeing the world through the eyes of Cyber Days?
Through the eyes of depression is what my whoever did my trailer did a bang up job. I was really impressed with it. It starts with Gina Davis's new book, Cyber Days, follows a path of both hope and deceit as one delves into the World Wide Web. I was just taken aback because nowhere did I mention in public that it discussed my problem, my lifelong depression problems. So someone definitely did read it and put some thought into the trailer. So I was real pleased with it. Let me backtrack. After I finished writing Cyber Days and I turned it into the publisher, the first thing I did was go to the library. The first thing that came to my mind was Flood. And at that time, I barely even knew how to use my iPhone. I'm not kidding you. Knew nothing, you know, with anything to do with creating websites and blog sites and, you know, all the things that I've done thus far. And I got a book called How to Market in the World Wide Web for Dummies or something as such. Mm-hmm. And I read it again and again, and I did everything it told me to do. And it said, you know, create a Twitter account and use it. And, I mean, that was a trip. This is now, again, about 8 months before Cyber Days was even published yet.
Right.
And I did not understand that site. And I still, to this day, really don't quite understand it. I can get around it. But
I have a feeling everybody understands any of this. To be honest, I think anyone who says they do is just kind of like pretending. Like it took us an hour to get on Skype. Well, not an hour. I'm exaggerating quite a bit, but it was definitely not the 5 minutes it should have been. So I totally don't want you to feel like you're alone there. We're all kind of swimming in that pool. So anyway, did not mean to interrupt you. Continue.
Well, it said this, you know, to create a Twitter account. So I started too. I had Cyber Days and Cyber Days Gina. And spent an amount of time, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yes, yes.
You know, trying to learn my way around that site. Oh, it was, and I have to give it to my Twitter peeps. They are very helpful. I was, because, you know, I knew Facebook upside down and backward. So it was early on I recognized that I was going to have a problem defining my target market and also my genre. So a Twitter friend of mine picked me up early on, and he's been my number one Cyber Days fan to this day, Joe. Matter of fact, I'm ghostwriting his cyber story,
nice,
which I'll get into later. He started following both of us. I don't even know how he found both of us, you know, simultaneously, but he did. Fate. And he's been a help. So I asked him a long time ago. I said, how do I figure out my genre and my target market? And he suggested a Twitter person that he knew that I guess you could pay services for. He says, mm-hmm. So I went ahead and followed through, and she emailed me and she said, let me do some research. And she emailed me and she said, have you ever heard of the book, The Cyber Effect? And I said, I cannot believe you said that. I never go into Amazon and search for books. I'm not a reader, believe it or not. But one day I was tooling around thinking of how do I figure out this genre problem. And I typed in cyber, and The Cyber Effect came right to the forefront. And what it said on the book, I think it's, don't quote me, human beings behave differently when they go online, mm-hmm. took the weight of the world off of my shoulders, because up until that point, I had been still carrying a fair amount to a good amount of guilt, you know, for what I had done, although it saved my life. I had to read it, and I'm not a reader. I count pages. How many more do I have to read before I'm done? I used to be an avid reader, but I lost my ability to focus on reading, and I read it, and Cyber Days actually validates everything that she is pointing out in her book. She's a cyber psychologist, a pioneering cyber psychologist named Mary Aiken, PhD. And so my book just supports what she's saying. And actually, it's uncanny. Nope, it's fate. Her what she is arguing in her book is exactly what the whole point of Cyber Days is how I've written it, sort of as a mystery read, as I call it.
Yeah.
Of course, hers is on a macro level, of course, and mine's on a micro level. So I quit promoting Cyber Days, and I promptly started promoting her book, because she's the one with the big message. And so all along, it's just been, but to get back to the genre issue, you know, I told her that, no, I don't think it would be the same thing. I just merely, you know, support what she's saying. I guess we're back at square one, aren't we? And her last words to me were, it's difficult being a pioneer. And she is exactly right. There is no genre for the likes of Cyber Days. And I'm a pioneer, because I offered ghostwriting services. I says, I bet people are going to start coming out of the woodwork with their own cyber stories. And my Twitter friend, I can call him Joe because he's known as Joe. He prefers to remain anonymous with his book. Direct messaged me, that's private message on Twitter, and asked me if I had heard of this game called Second Life. And I said, no, why? And he said that he lost his wife and his job over it.
Whoa.
And, then,
whoa. I mean, I know what Second Life is, but that's
right.
That's a level of dedication to it that is pretty intense, to lose your wife and
your job.
A 5-year
major addiction.
Wow.
And why he was so drawn to me. He could not wait for Cyber Days to come out so he could read it and maybe rid himself of his own guilt and shame and all the other that come across with what you do, because we do act differently in the cyber world. We all do.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is what's, if I could just stop you for a second, to kind of, because this is one of the things that I find so intriguing about this, and one of the reasons I really wanted to talk to you, is that when you're talking about it, and I feel like a certain sense of, you know, obviously wanting to respect boundaries and not, you know, push you to reveal anything you don't want to reveal, but it sounds like immediately it comes from a very tangible place of reality. There's like an experience that happened to you that led you into writing this, and that in doing so, you saved yourself in a certain light. But then there's also the idea that you're presenting it as a mystery. So is this really fictional, or is it sort of semi-autobiographical with names and dates and locations changed kind of thing? How would you... If there isn't a single genre that can describe it, what would be the best way to kind of at least give a potential reader the idea of, am I reading a fiction novel? Am I reading a personal history? Am I reading some kind of cross between the two? What would you say is the best way to think of it?
Well, it might be just as easy for me to read the blurb off the back of the book to you, if you don't mind.
Sure, yeah, whatever works. We're all about, you know, Path of Least Resistance on the Hollow Knight Network.
Okay, great. Have you ever done something you thought you would never, ever do? I did, on the computer. Cyber Days explores the implications of allowing your intangible cyber life to cross over into your tangible real life and the consequences therein. As a nonfiction book written loosely in an autobiographical format, Cyber Days also has a theory buried within, but I deliberately do not disclose my thesis statement up front with supporting documentation following. Rather, I turned it the other way around, which, in essence, made my supporting statements more of a mystery read. Hints, mind you, and asking the reader here and there, do you understand what I'm trying to say yet, reader? Sprinkled within. Almost to the very end, I hold out until I sum up the circumstances of the events they had read, and alas, agree that I certainly well might have a valid argument here. The content is engaging, interesting, sad, thought-provoking, funny, and yes, even erotic. It is well worth the read and delivers a substantive message in its wake. Does that answer?
I say, now, who doesn't want to read that after hearing that? You know what I mean? Like, on top of that, I mean, it sounds like one of the things about life that I think maybe doesn't seem so obvious until we have something pointed out to us, like a book or a movie or something that really touches us and moves us, is nobody's life is really one note the whole time, you know, and the fact that you said, like, it covers so many things. It's, you know, even to the point where it gets erotic at times. You're like, yeah, everybody's life has like a palette of different types of experiences. And now there's something to be said here too, and this might be I don't know, maybe I'm waxing a little too poetic on it, so you let me know. But you know, there's a certain sort of, if you look back at human evolution, right, and our evolution as a society and the way our art has evolved, we've had a certain level of our art that has been, and our storytelling and everything that kind of goes in that realm, that has been affected by technology always. And some people, you know, when you bring up a topic like that, immediately like, oh yeah, technology's the devil, all down with technology, look how many horrible things it's done, you know, all friggin' Twitter and the fact that you can have things like stalker hacking and whatever. But then there's another way to look at it, and that's in terms of someone like Jimi Hendrix. You know, Jimi Hendrix was this amazing self-taught talent. You know, he was raw, and he was able to pick up an electric guitar and like change the world. But if an electric guitar had never been invented, we would have never had a Jimi Hendrix. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean?
Absolutely. Yep.
There would have been no tool for that creative energy to be able to be expressed in a way that everybody else could experience it and connect with it. And I get the same feeling here, just by the fact of even that it's called Cyber Days. You know, like when those of us who've been around to watch the world change from when there was no internet to now everybody's got these little Star Trek tricorders in their pocket, you know, there's a big shift that is hard to put into words that happened during that time. And I almost wonder if, from the way your blurb describes some of what's going on, that whatever you did, whatever happened to you that you did online, is the one of those things that's like a human story that there's a potential could have never happened if we hadn't created technology. So is there anything that you come away from this experience and Cyber Days and sort of the things that are explored there with more fear of technology, or would you say it's more of like a greater respect for technology, or is it just more of a familiarity and an ability to navigate it now?
I guess the ability to navigate it, but I still am overcome by the, like I call it, tangible and intangible, you know, beings. And I say I have two separate and distinct lives. Intangible is my cyber life, and tangible is my real life. I prefer intangible, and I do. I love being in the World Wide Web. There's a whole lot to be learned. That book, The Cyber Effect, I can't emphasize enough how everybody needs to read that book. In fact, I've been trying to get Howard Stern to, you know, because it is huge. What she is pointing out needs to be done, you know, concerning what we do in the World Wide Web and what we can do to curtail things that we cannot control.
Hmm.
I just am her number one fan. And, you know, I'm trying to get Howard Stern to pick it up. If he could shed that shock jock and get into something that could, you know, leave him with a humongous, you know, legacy in his days beyond, yeah, you know, that he could do. I'm probably not making too much sense.
No, I mean, I think it's interesting that of all the people in the world, you're calling on Howard Stern to take a step towards a more responsible use of his celebrity. But at the same time, I think that speaks to our sensibilities as society now, you know, and it's interesting because especially, you know, someone like Howard Stern, I've actually been talking about him a lot lately in my tangible life, probably a lot less, a lot less in my intangible life, though in my intangible life, I am pretty open. You know, I think anybody, dare I say, I actually have a fan base. I don't actually know if I do or not. I hope that
yes.
I do.
Likewise.
And I think, you know, when anyone who is familiar with me, you know, anyone who's listened to other podcasts on the Hollow Knight Network, I'm not really too shy on the mic about giving my personal responses and reactions to things that celebrities do. But I don't think I'm looking at it in the same way that someone would, you know, maybe obsess over the kids at the house in Jersey Shore and try to emulate them. I'm more just kind of keeping tabs on the world so that I could do my part as a sort of alternative journalist and, like, at least be speaking from an informed perspective. But I think there's a certain amount, especially with the way the political climate is now and with the way certain people who were iconic figures and power players in the world of Hollywood and entertainment and all the crazy that has come to the surface, I think people are looking for at least something to hold on to that they can feel like they can still trust. And it's funny because people like Howard Stern arguably, questionably gotten to this level, but have kind of reached that level. I mean, sadly, there are people on the sort of more negative side of it, like, you know, the Alex Joneses and the Rush Limbaughs out there who also have this sort of cult of personality following about them. But I think someone like Howard Stern, who's clearly been progressive, like, you know, his whole life. I mean, he's progressive in that knowing that, like, sex sells, right? Like, he's become famous for being raunchy. And ironically enough, things he's become famous for are the reasons that Hollywood moguls are going to jail now, you know, so there's, like, something to be discussed in there. But, you know, I think it's funny because I would love to see someone like a Howard Stern have a semi-heroic turn to his legacy. And that sounds a little bit like what you're calling on him to do. Is there anyone who you would also consider to be somebody that you would want to reach out for help with this kind of thing? Is there another Howard Stern out there? Is there someone that we're not considering, but that you have some familiarity with, why they would be a good voice to try to help spread your message?
No, I think he is the only one. I have been, I hate Twitter. I have actually now 3 Twitter accounts and, devised an elaborate plan for my Twitter strategy, and it was very successful. But I have a part-timer that manages my accounts for me. But she tweets and tags, or at least in the past, we were doing Oprah's book club, Ellen DeGeneres, Dr. Phil, Jenny McCarthy, and who am I missing? And Howard. I told her to, you know, to just stay with Howard because I don't think the others. Ellen's just about comical. She's just, you know, she's not it. Dr. Phil would only be discussing one half of the argument that both myself and Ms. Aiken talk about in her book. There's 2 different things going on. That we're saying needs to be done in the World Wide Web, or curtailing in the World Wide Web, and so I keep coming down to Howard Stern is the only one that has, you know, the humongous reach that he has, and the contacts, and he is an intelligent man. Now, don't get me wrong, I absolutely despised Howard Stern in the past, couldn't stand him. Yeah. And my ex, on the other hand, worshipped him.
Right.
That's all he ever listened to. And it was when we were in the car, we had an unspoken agreement that Howard was not on.
Nice.
And so I disliked him. And in fact, when he saw that I was tweeting Howard, he posted, hypocritical lying bitch. You no, what did you say? Yeah, hypocritical lying bitch. You know, now you're trying to get Howard Stern, someone you despise, you know, to push your book of lies. And, you know, but I keep coming down to it that if he took it as passionately as I do and Ms. Aiken does, that it would take someone with him to actually put all the right people together to make the things happen. And there is going to be a whole lot of controversy involved in doing it. So I think Howard is the only one on this planet that could do it. If I could only, you know, twist his ear. Now, I realize every email that I send him probably goes directly to spam. And in the subject line, I always put a name of a song. This is the new shit. I'm, you know, just trying to catch their eye, you know?
Yeah.
And every once in a while, I'll post the, you know, the YouTube link along with it. And so, you know, I've written Howard many, many emails, you know, saying I'm waiting for him, you know, to take over. I'm merely the messenger. I'm turning over what I have to somebody that can direct it in the direction it needs to, has to go. Because right now we're headed down, you know, a sad road as far as what I'm saying in Cyber Days. Of course, mine is on a micro level, you know, individual level, where Mary Aiken talks about it worldwide as, you know, what is going on.
Well, so, I think it's easier for people to maybe pretend certain things might not be happening when it's being described on the macro level. But when you bring it into a personalized micro level like that, and it's something they can relate to or they could see themselves going through, it's going to have a much more of an impact. So so it's actually really good that you were able to take this thing that you were responding to and its macro message and find a way. It almost sounds like probably part of whatever you experienced was a little painful. So thank you for finding a way to turn that into something positive. You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of people that when they get hurt by things, they just wind up, you know, in the corner licking their wounds and they never really bounce back from it, you know?
It's been quite an experience, I tell you. And if it wasn't for my mother, I would have never written it. But she kept saying, you have to share your story. And so I wrote it, and the words wrote it, I should say. And she said that I wrote it in 2 weeks' time. She says, I got on my laptop, I sat in a chair with it on a little coffee table, not a coffee table, a little, you know, TV table. Mm-hmm. And I never got off of it for 2 straight weeks. I have no recollection whatsoever of writing Cyber Days at all. And so I gave it to her to read. And when she finished, and it's almost 100,000 words. It's a long book. It's 450 pages. What she said to me is, keep your mouth shut.
Wow.
She's my partner. And you know how hard that was to do, you know, that year. I wanted, you know, feedback. I want feedback. Give me. I want to talk about it. So I had an incredibly hard time not talking about it.
Now, was she saying not to talk about it because she was afraid someone would steal it from you?
Right, or, exactly.
Okay, I would say, or was she more worried that anyone who recognized themselves in this fictional portrayal of things that might have happened might want to retaliate? Is there anything in there that you're
worried
about?
No, it wasn't that at all.
Okay.
It was about the fact that someone could run with it before I got it out.
Gotcha.
And I was really amazed. Angel Medina, I don't know how. Everything that I have done, I don't know, I did not plan it. I have created a tremendous World Wide Web platform single-handedly. This is from one that just a year and a half or 2 years ago did not even know how to use an iPhone. I'm not kidding you. I could barely maneuver I didn't even know how to save my work onto a CD or a thumb drive. I'm telling you, and my desktop was full. I had no more storage left when I was writing Cyber Days. So anyway, I've had to learn a lot. And it's all just been fate. I think it's meant to be. It's meant to happen. So I just keep on plugging away, you know, and doing what I'm doing. And, you know, sometime I blog, I don't talk at all about Cyber Days. I talk about all sorts of, I don't even know what I talk about, but they're all long-winded for the most part. I think I've blogged a couple times. Maybe you've seen it. I think I have a fan club. Yeah, not Cyber Days. Not the words.
Yeah, it's pretty funny that you've described this sort of phenomenon of someone else watching you write it and having to, you know, clue you in onto how long it took and how it was sort of like you were in this other zone. We were trying to call your name. You wouldn't respond to it. And I've had a number of similar stories that I've heard in the last couple months, actually, of folks that are either colleagues or friends who've written novels or written manuscripts, and they'll tell me things like, oh yeah, you know, I woke up and it was more like I was reading the words on a screen in my mind, and at the same time my hand was typing them, so I don't even know what's in the book, and I'm going, wait, what? You know what I mean? And this is more than one person. I was interviewing somebody for my day job who had written a book in 11 days, and it was after he had had a seriously life-threatening near-death experience car accident, and he said he just woke up and the words were basically flowing through him, and he didn't even, you know, when he gave his wife the first copy and she read it and asked him what it was about, and he didn't even know. And I kind of feel like if there's ever been a testament to something outside of our consciousness that can affect us, I feel like it's been something like that. And the fact that I've run into more than one person that's had this type of experience, I would say, like, I mean, I'm not a very religious person. I would say I have some elements of spirituality that I like to think about and explore on a philosophical sense, but I've never really bought into the ritualistic different interpretations of, you know, how we're supposed to interact with the divine and almighty and whatnot. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on sort of spirituality and having this experience. What was sort of when the words first started to appear, what was your mind's initial reaction to that? Was there ever a fear of where this is coming from, or a sort of rejection, like, or a thought of maybe, am I going crazy? Am I hearing voices? You know, tell me a little bit about how you were able to just kind of go with that and how it was and how it feels now to know that this thing kind of comes and goes and you don't have 100% control over it. It's a little scary, but in an exciting and cool kind of way, you know?
Well, like I said, I don't have any real recollection of writing Cyber Days except for one thing. Now, I did use Facebook messages between myself and other people, conversations that I left original. I did not change any spelling errors, nothing. I left it just as it was, because they ultimately corrected themselves, because I was talking to, you know, intelligent people that knew how to spell, and they reread and saw they misspelled it, and they would go back and fix it. I remember thinking when I got to one particular point, there was something I said, I'm not going to disclose that. I'm going to leave it out. And immediately my mind said, no, you're telling the whole story, everything, the truth. You know, in fact, one of an Amazon reader review said in closing, this is by no means a polished work. It is raw. It is honest. It is visceral. And he was, again, spot on. I remember just having that flashing thought I wasn't going to leave anything out. And so after I finished Cyber Days and I had to go through that, oh, my God, I think it was 8 or 9 editing rounds. I have a peculiar way of writing. You might have picked up on that. I squish words together and I do all sorts of odd things that most normal people don't do. And that's the way Cyber Days is written. Okay, before I lose my train of thought.
Yeah, I didn't want to throw you off at all by jumping in. I'm just like, I know what it's like, though, when you're kind of like, it's like one word is eluding me, and if that word comes in, then the rest of this floodgate will open.
Well, anyway, after I got done, and I have an unusual way of writing, and the editors, and plus, I have things in the ebook and in the paperback that had to be placed under the precise line that they were supposed to be under. And they kept on effing it up. Mm-hmm. So every time I got it back, I would have to, you know, reread it. And again, I would go through that. Oh, my God, I did that. I can't believe it. What was I thinking? Oh, my gosh. What have I done? I've written a book. Oh, my God, what was I thinking? Guilt, shame, remorse, you know, sour disbelief. When it first came out, oh, my gosh, what have I done? And it was not so much a spirituality than it was coming across the cyber effect that lifted immediately that all that guilt. And in fact, sharing my story has, in fact, liberated me. Mm. And that's what I'm dealing with, Joe. I was 17 chapters into his. Now, he is an author, mind you. Mm-hmm. I couldn't figure out why he didn't want to write his own story. But, you know, he wanted me to write it. But he prefers to remain anonymous. And I keep telling him that it will set him free. It's no big deal. I mean, we are so hardened to what we see in the World Wide Web, all sorts of pornographic images, you know, it's whatever, you know. Mm. But I'll work on him. He he got cold feet and he chickened out after I finished.
If he's an author and he's not, he writes more fiction, or does he write a lot of autobiographical stuff?
No, he writes fiction.
Yeah.
So maybe, yeah.
I think it's a little, it's tough when you think about, I mean, I think about from a fiction writer's perspective, it's like, I'm not talking about somebody that doesn't exist in a world that's really a reflection of our world. I'm talking about me. This is like whatever I admit here has some pretty real ramifications. That's not an easy bridge to cross for anybody
right.
who hasn't, you know, done things like, you know, gone to therapy or had, you know, any experiences that made them get in touch with what was really going on inside their mind emotionally, you know. And I think that for all of our advances and all of the things that technology has taught us about ourselves and about each other, it's funny how, like, still one of the most horrifying ordeals is having to face yourself. You know, it's like it's,
right.
it's that scene from Empire Strikes Back when you go in the cave and the Darth Vader actually has your face underneath the mask, and it's like, whoa, oh my God, it's so real. That's true, man. It's really true. You know, I kind of feel like even though we have all these like mechanisms for kind of showing off and getting constant attention if we really wanted it, once that attention turns to somebody, you know, holding you responsible for being yourself and knowing who you are, it becomes a different conversation. So how do you see yourself moving forward? Is it going to be just helping other people by, you know, offering ghostwriting services? Has this unlocked any want to move into more of a fictional writing space?
No. You know, and like you were talking about, you know, Joe being a fiction writer, I have no talent whatsoever to write fiction. It's just a blank slate, empty, nothing. Give me facts and I can put them together in an interesting way. And like I said, I had no intentions of ever writing again. I just had a story that I thought needed to be told and I wrote it. But along the way, in my early days, you know, before I figured out how to, what I call do legal advertising, I got into some dating sites, and I was, in my profile, I would say, I love music, cyber days. I should go back. I was talking about Angel Medina. Mm-hmm. I had never come across him before in Twitter at all. And I was familiar with my regulars that always retweeted me because I always thanked them for retweeting me. And so out of the blue one day, and I don't even know where this idea came from, I just started tweeting Cyber Days. Come visit me, cyberdays.weebly.com. Now, this is 8 months before. Mm-hmm. I have 24 blog sites. Weebly was by far, I have all freebie sites and most of them offer stats, but Weebly did. I had, and now I'm just in Twitter at this point. I wasn't in Facebook at all. So it's all coming from Twitter is what I can imagine. 23,000 average daily view visits to my website just in Weebly alone. And he quoted the tweet so you could see what I had tweeted, and he wrote above it, "Be on the lookout. I smell a breakthrough novel here. Give this girl a follow. Gina, I see big things." And I had tweeted below it, "Thank you, friend." So again, it's fate. I don't know where all these ideas come from, how I had devised such an elaborate Twitter strategy that was a knockout. It was exhausting to do. And then I finally got someone to take over so I could get into the Facebook at that point. So again, I have just developed, it's just come about. I've just kept on doing, learning. I keep on saying, it probably moves into a spirituality. For the first time in my life, I feel content with what I'm doing in my life, and I feel happy. And and I have gone from having everything. I had a horse farm, 5 horses, you know, nice car, money, you know, rental properties, you name it. I had it. I'm not trying to brag. No. And I have gone to nothing, and I prefer it. I'm not moved by material things. They don't mean anything. So I feel that I'm doing that is something that is important. And that makes me feel good.
Join us next time for part 2.
You've been listening to the Hollow Nine Network, bringing you the very best in fan-made media. That's the word hollow, the number 9, INE. Now broadcasting from our new home on the web, hollow9.com. where you can find info on all of our awesome programming as well as the team behind the shows. Leave us your feedback, join in the conversation, and be a part of the action. Find the Hollow Nine Network on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you find your podcasts. Email us at info@hollow9.com or at hollow9podcast@gmail.com. Join in the fun. Hollow Nine.
Who am I? I'm the girl with the big ass gun.
Welcome to Hollow Nine's 10 Minutes in Purgatory podcast, in which we recap and review each episode of sci-fi's hit TV series, Wynonna Earp. I am Jennifer Nine, and with me is my co-host and resident Hollow Nine Earp expert, Jennifer Earp.
Hey there, Earpers. This is Jennifer Earp.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event. It's the clash of the Lady Titans beneath the neon lights, happening before your eyes and ears right here tonight. Put your hands together for the Hollow Nine Network's Glow Podcast. And now, your hosts, Jennifer Nye, Whitney Benson, and Liz Joffler.
USA Networks, Damnation. Hollow Nine Network is proud to present The Damned Flock, a Damnation podcast.
I bid you hear my words, for there are devils among us, those who would conspire and plot against you, against me, against the very fiber that holds together to make this country strong. We have been prepared for these biblical times. This is a country at war, and we have been divinely armed. You see, brothers and sisters, we were given not a word, but a sword. The time has come for the sheep to rise against the wolves. The time has come to break their fucking backs. So you must choose a side now. Are you with the flock or the strikebreakers?
Break their fucking backs!